Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Phyllis Schneck, Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and Communications within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Balthrop. So, Phyllis, would you elaborate on the administration's legislative proposal to enhance information sharing? How does it seek to improve information sharing while reducing the risk for private sector entities who voluntarily share that information?
The more information we have, the smarter we can make our machines, and the less likely they execute an instruction that will hurt them. Mm-hmm. And to bring together all that information requires many different perspectives. What we are building in the NCIC is the ability to intake or provide an intake of many, many cyber threat indicators from many different organizations. And what the administrative proposal is trying to do is make that easier for companies, try to understand the culture of what it might take for private sector to share with the NCIC in these very difficult times for that. And I'll give you an example. So the president mentioned targeted liability protection. What that says is that if you are a company, and I did this in my previous company, and you want to share cyber threat indicators, and again, we would do this with extreme policy guidance from privacy and civil liberties experts. They are with us every step of the way in building these systems, especially the intake and the outtake, right? What comes in and what's allowed to go out, where's it allowed to go? That is a wide-scale private sector plus government discussion across all of government, whether it's law enforcement, the NCIC, et cetera. But how do we bring together all that information all the right way and help the lawyers in the companies? Lawyers have a very important role in this. They say, how do I protect the company while the company tries to protect the country or the global ecosystem? You should never have to choose between company and community, whether community is country or the world. How do we enable those indicators to be shared so that the people that protect the company don't feel that they could be victims of liability down the line simply for sharing a threat indicator? Because this area is so new. So what this proposal says is we're going to take that risk away if you share with the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at DHS, because they are the ones designated to get this right, to work with the privacy and civil liberties people, to work with all the different equities across law enforcement and private sector to make sure that we can gather all the information we need and can possibly get and preserve our way of life at the same time while we distribute it rapidly out. Now, that's complicated because to gather all that information together starts to look like we are simply collecting data. And so it's a very, very big point that we are trying our best to protect companies and protect the way the data is handled with those privacy and civil liberties experts. Those two go together. The president also signed an executive order, I believe, 1 month later on 13 February at Stanford, that defined another acronym, but a great one, an ISAO, Information Sharing and Analysis Organization, which is a superset of the existing set of organizations, ready for this, ISAC, Information Sharing and Analysis Center, that says, look, we've had ISACs, many of which have been very successful, that bring together groups of energy companies, groups of water companies, groups of the critical infrastructure providers. We need to be able to bring together groups of people that don't have a sector, like groups of dentists, right? Groups of different kinds of experts that would share cyber indicators. And so now what this proposal is saying is that we will also extend that targeted liability protection. And targeted means not mass sending of information, but be careful under the rules designated in sending just the indicators. And it would extend those to companies that want to share information with those nonprofit organizations now called ISAOs, Information Sharing and Analysis Organizations. What that does is it promotes my top priority and my top challenge, trust. It says, if you don't necessarily want to share directly with government, here's another way that you can help the community and connect into cyber threat indicators that you may want to share. That does not mean you won't get the cyber threat indicators from the NCIC. You absolutely will. We want to push them out everywhere. I do believe that as many indicators as we can get together gives you greater situational awareness. We will work together with those groups that are willing to work with the NCIC. But the more of these groups that come up, the better. DHS has been tasked with identifying a standards organization to identify what creates an accredited, if you will, accredited ISAO, or Information Sharing Analysis Organization. But what this proposal does is simplifies the ability for anyone to share cyber threat indicators in a protected, safe way and helps them be part of a community that needs desperately to put as much information as possible together to create, if you will, a more accurate weather forecast for every machine we can possibly reach.
In order to build this trust that you talked about, both the priority and the challenge in doing so, other programs play into this, I believe. And I was wondering if you could talk about the Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Program and the Cyber Information Sharing and Collaboration Programs, and how do they factor into your effort to achieve that priority around trust?
So this is a great question that's going to let me elaborate on some of our other programs as well. So within the Office of Cybersecurity and Communications, we have many flagship programs that many of your audience will recognize the name. Einstein, Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, Enhanced Cybersecurity Services, functionally known as ECS, and CISB, the Cyber Information Sharing and Collaboration Program. Now, the Cyber Information Sharing and Collaboration Program is people talking to people. It's these scientists that get together. They've signed agreements with the government. It transcends competition. So many organizations that might be competitive in a sales arena are sharing good science together so that we're all safer. We are also helping them, should they want to, share indicators with us now that our indicator, cyber threat indicator sharing portal is alive and up. But the other programs are more machine driven. So let's start with Einstein. That is what protects our federal civilian agencies at the, quote, perimeter. I call it a fence. It looks at traffic coming in and out. It looks to identify something that might be bad. And it looks to, in the most recent stage, block something that might be bad before it gets in. So I want to elaborate very clearly. This is based upon some standard intrusion detection and prevention technology. Some people have come to me and said, well, that's 10-year-old technology, and they wait for my very defensive answer. And I say, no, it's not 10 years old. Intrusion detection and prevention is actually about 20 years old, but let's look at this for a moment. Every organization needs a fence. You build upon that fence, just like every car needs a drivetrain. You'll find that signature technology, which is something we all— the ability to identify and or block a threat based on something we already know, that's an exact match, like a fingerprint. Signature technology is the best way to block what we know. And in many cases, that's 80% of what's coming in. Now, those numbers will change, but just like a vaccine, there are certain diseases for which we will always be vaccinated, simply because that's the best way to prevent them. Is that all we need? No, we need an immune system. And in our world, that means behavioral technology. So that means now that we can use that fence called Einstein to protect the civilian agencies, and they are rapidly signing on, we can now look at the ability we have with our privacy and civil liberties experts to, and we are doing this now, study the bad guys to try to get into our government customers, mm-hmm. our government agencies that we protect on the civilian side, and say, if we see something trying to get into agency X, let's look across the board here and see if it's trying to get into agency Y, Q, and Z as well, and start tracking that. And we can use that, create indicators from it, and using our NCIC portal, where we collect these indicators, push that rapidly out to the private sector. Our Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Program is basically Einstein to protect the private sector. Using commercial providers, we can protect private sector with information not only from those providers, but from government as well. So it's an extra step above, and that helps those providers at their fence be protected against things that we might have only seen on the government side. And then finally, the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, to me, is a very large part of our story. When I was in private sector, I was actually part of looking at how this would be designed from the organization I was with. But it brings together the best of technology across the private sector from many companies. And it enables our government agencies to be equipped inside their network, so this is inside the fence now, with the best of technology in a scalable, affordable way. This program simply enables federal agencies to have and to purchase at an affordable rate the best of technology. We will keep changing and updating what goes into that technology because we hunger for private sector innovation, innovation that we will create, and innovation that we'll get from our brothers and sisters, whether it's a FBI, intelligence community, DOD, or across the federal government. We will bring in that innovation. We want private sector, as I mentioned earlier, to thrive on that innovation. But continuous diagnostics and mitigation enables the best of technology to come inside the fence of our federal agencies. And every time you put a good tool to protect something, it provides good data. So every agency will have from those tools what we call a dashboard those agencies will always, that's why it's called continuous, see those different variables about their internet security on their own network. And I can be humorous, but I'm not. Instead of making a big 5-pound binder every year, you can save your experts time and just always know how well the car is running. And as we engage more and more of these tools, we'll learn more about what's trying to hurt our agencies. We'll be able to protect them better. We'll be able to create new information that we can put at the fence so those threats don't even make it past the fence anymore. We put it into Einstein. All of our programs were designed to converge this way. We can take all these indicators and put them out to the private sector through those protocols to let the machines talk. We will certainly have those same signatures that we make for Einstein, get some that into enhanced cybersecurity services to also protect the private sector fence. And we will increase that situational awareness to get all that information out to the smallest to the largest companies and agencies.
As a follow-up, are you working with Congress to further clarify DHS authority to deploy these protection technologies that you described to the federal civilian system?
In December of 2014, one of our holiday gifts from Congress was those authorities, updated FISMA authorities that say DHS does have the authority to protect these networks, and that is our role. When I was in the private sector, that's when I first had my first experience of going to the Hill. And it's an honor to be part of the system, and you talk about your expertise. When you move to government and you go to the Hill, everybody said it'll be a lot different, it's a lot harder. It is different, and in some ways it's harder because you are explaining why you do what you do. Not just what you do, but why. But I have been very, very just overwhelmingly impressed with the amount of willingness and knowledge that our Hill colleagues, our representatives, and our senators have had in this issue, and the time they've taken and their staffs have taken to understand this issue. This is not all they do all day. It's all I do all day, but it's not all they do all day. The recent actions will show it, but that they've provided for us. But they've taken the time to really understand cybersecurity and work with us to craft statute that makes this country safer, not just today, but years from now.
Phyllis, I understand that for the past 3 years, actually, the DHS has led the development of data standards for exchange of cyber threat information and collaboration with the private sector. I think you touched on this. And I'd like to drill down a little bit. What could you tell us about the, I want to get these right, structured threat information expression, STIC, and trusted automated exchange of indicator information, TAXI? Would you tell us about these standards? What's the plan for implementation? And more importantly, how does the Enhanced Shared Situational Awareness Initiative ensure the interoperability between these key sources of information?
So it's a great question. Every time we talk about sharing information, if you really drill down, you say, well, how will that happen? How will the right antibodies get to the right machine in time? And part of that challenge will be knowing what machine it has to go to. That's a different piece of science. But the part we're addressing right now is how to rapidly disseminate what we know. So we say machine to machine a lot. And what we really mean is having a way for a machine to receive information that it knows is cybersecurity information, that it knows how to parse. So if you think about a source, a destination, and a wire, TAXI is the wire. No pun intended, but you can picture just the transport of the TAXI, of the information. And STIX is just an expression. It's a language. And how to talk about cybersecurity information. And what's nice about it from a privacy and civil liberties perspective is it is somewhat bounded in the information that you can send. Yes, we'll have a lot of oversight. Yes, there's discussion of a lot of checking on the information that comes in the portal to make sure that private information is not deliberately put in there. And to the extent we can, we'll be able to mitigate some of that. But this is a way to have everybody speaking the same language. So whether I talk in acronyms or if I speak English and you speak Spanish, how are we going to communicate? And what this does is level the playing field and say cybersecurity will be expressed this way. These indicators will be sent this way and all machines will be equipped to read it. Our colleagues in the financial sector, specifically, I'll call out the financial sector, financial services, information sharing and analysis center. So their ISAC, if you will, their sector-based group of organizations that shares information has created some software that can actually be an interface for pretty much any tool you might be running. It's almost like a plug-in, like when you go to a foreign country and you plug an adapter in the wall so that your phone will charge in the foreign hotel. This is like an adapter so your machine can speak cybersecurity protocol and receive the information. Now, many are looking at how to do this, but really, STIX and TAXI were fundamental. They are fundamental to the real-time delivery from one machine to another of cybersecurity information. So when we talk about our chief technology officer, Dr. Pete Fonash, and I have an article published earlier this year in an IEEE journal called Months to Milliseconds. So months or weeks is what we've been doing as an industry for the past few years, which is PDF to person. I create a document with the threat and I send it out widescale. Now we are machine to machine. So we're able to infiltrate the network with medicine or information that is intended to receive machines either before they receive the threat so they can block it or after to be informed of it so they can detect it. And both make us more resilient. So sticks and taxi are fundamental to cybersecurity forward.
How can we better predict cyber threats? We will ask Dr. Phyllis Schneck, Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and Communications within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.